you grateful today?
How many got a made up mind tonight? Listen.
And the Lord my mind is made. Take the Lord Jesus away.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show.
Good morning. Praise the Lord, everybody. I pray your day is going well. If you are living, breathing, and feeling this cool air, God has graced you with another day, and we are glad about it. I'm your guest host, Reverend E. June Addison. I'm sitting in for Sister BJ, and I'm so thankful and grateful for the opportunity she has given me to bring the Word of God to our city, to this listening audience this morning. So I pray, God, you have your Bible, pencil, and paper, and you're ready to be a student of the Word. So, God, we just thank you today for your loving kindness, grace, and mercy. And we're going to not only be good hearers of your Word, Father, but we're going to be great doers of your Word. Today, I want to bring a word that's continuing to preach that was shared with Jerusalem Baptist Church there in Cottonport, Louisiana, and the beautiful women and men that was there on the other Sunday that shared the Word of God, Pastor Chris Augustine. We're grateful and thankful for you this morning and on the other day, just being gracious. The Word of God came from Ezekiel 36 and 26. So we're going to walk in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 36 and 26. And Ezekiel is pronouncing and he is bringing the word of God to Israel that God has promised them that after restoration, he would give them a new heart and a new spirit. So as we go to this word, this promise that God gave Israel through Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, was part of a larger promise that God made to them after he had restored them once again back to reconciliation with him. Israel had sinned against God over and over again, and they had broken God's covenant, and this time they were in exile because of their disobedience and their idolatry. God had sent them, judged them, and they were in exile. And God, in his loving grace and mercy, he sends Ezekiel to them with restoration and a promise. Does that sound familiar? Does our disobedience and our idolatry, and idolatry is anything that we put ahead of God, that we put in the place of God, and it draws us away from him. And not only are we drawn away from him, but our disobedience and idolatry definitely draws him from us. Until there is a time of recognizing and remembering and repenting, true repentance to God, our Heavenly Father, for our disobedience and our sin. But God, I need you to say to yourself right there, but God took Israel back, and he takes us back. Again, when we truly repent, we truly turn from what grieved God, what broke his heart, what grieved his spirit. He took Israel back, restored them. And this word, Ezekiel 36:26, this word he gave them as a promise. Look at what it says. Verse 26, Ezekiel 36. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. How many times have God done that in our lives? How many times have God, you know, we've messed up, we've sinned, God. We didn't do what you told us to do, God, and we did what we shouldn't have done, God. And yet there is a but God comes and he restores us. He reconciles us to himself. And it's his grace, his mercy, his patience, his long-suffering, his love through the Lord Jesus that we are still here. We are still here. He's giving us another chance, another opportunity to get it right, another chance, another opportunity to worship and praise him. And that we ought to be grateful. We ought to be thankful. We ought to praise him without being pulled on, as I call it, without being coaxed into it, without being, you know, come on, let's praise God, come on, lift your hand. No, we already lifting hands. We already blessing his name. We already thanking him before the worship leader stands up, or thanking the pastor gets up, or the messenger for that day gets up. Oh, my God. He does it over and over again. He loves us that much. And I want to say something right here, just a sidebar for a minute, but it's in our acknowledgement of God bringing us and carrying us and being patient and kind with us as African Americans. sometimes we act as if God did not bring us to where we are today. Israel would forget over and over the covenant of God, would forget what God admonished them to do, his statutes, his principles, his commandments. They would forget over and over again how God brought them out of bondage, out of Egypt, sustained them in the wilderness, fought for them. And some of us of the African American community, nation, some of us have forgotten how we got here. Not just historically, but spiritually. Not just how God brought us through our history, but how he brought us out of bondage, out of darkness into his marvelous light spiritually, how he restored us, how he waited for us, how he was patient with us while we were yet sinners. Paul said, Christ died. He sent Christ to die for us. And sometimes we forget. Sometimes we act as though we have forgotten how we got here. You know, God reminded Israel in Exodus 12 and 26. He told Israel, and it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? And God was talking about the service of Passover, celebrating Passover throughout all of their history. Tell them, God said, tell them how I delivered you out of bondage, out of Egypt. God told Israel, tell your children how I delivered you. And that is our admonishment today. Tell our children our history. Okay, they won't let it be in the classroom, but we have a classroom at our dinner table. We have a classroom on our couch. We have a classroom at our bedside, in our homes. Tell in our churches, tell our history. And our history is about how God brought us through, how God delivered us. We wasn't here always. And we must know for ourselves and tell our children throughout all of our generations how God brought us through. We didn't get here in our own strength or by ourselves. Even being born again in Christ, we cannot be holy or in Christ or righteous on our own. And we must tell the story, not only our historical story, but tell our spiritual story. Hallelujah. How God brought us through. You know, John 15 and 5 reminds us that without Jesus, without him, we can do nothing. And that's what we must keep in our history. Without him, it would not be possible we would be here. So in our passage today, Ezekiel 36 and 26, God is not just asking us or Israel, not just asking us to change our actions or behavior on our own. He's asking us, he's asking you, personally, individually, and us as a body, the body of Christ, collectively. He's asking us, allow him to come in and do in you, in us, what no one else can do. Only God can truly create a new heart and a new spirit. Oh, Father, thank you, God. Only you. And he does it from the inside that will show up on the outside. Through Jesus Christ, when we allow God, by his great power, to come in and through Jesus Christ enable us to receive a new heart and a new spirit so that we can act like Jesus, talk like him, be like him, look like him in all of our ways. to love one another like Jesus said love in John 13 and 34. God wants to come in on the inside and enable us through Christ Jesus to receive a new heart and a new spirit. And there's three things we're going to look at that will happen when we receive God's new heart and new spirit. And the first thing is spiritual renewal. Spiritual renewal. And we know that the scripture that says, be renewed, you know, renewed by your mind, by the renewing of our mind. Well, spiritual renewal is total and complete mind, body, soul, and spirit. The word new in this scripture, in this passage, means a new disposition of mind. It's a vast difference from what was there before. Oh, hallelujah. When God comes in with a new heart and a new spirit, you are vastly different from what was there before. He takes that heart and that spirit, and he makes it so different from what was there before, it's unrecognizable. The word disposition from the Oxford Dictionary refers to the natural qualities of a person's character, their predominant tendency of one spirit, the natural mental and emotional outlook of a person. And here's one that I really like: a habitual inclination and tendency. So your disposition, when God comes in and gives us new heart, new spirit, we have a totally vast disposition about us, a totally vast outlook, a totally vast dominant tendency in our spirit, a totally vast different emotional and natural outlook on life. Spiritual renewal. It's when he comes in and take those dominant characters of the old heart and the old spirit, and he changes it and creates it so new, totally different. Oh, my Jesus, that we have a new heart and a new spirit that only God can do. You'll notice Ezekiel said, a new heart and a new spirit. That "and" is a conjunction. It joins new heart and it joins new spirit together. That lets us know that one does not operate without the other. They operate together. So you cannot have a new heart and an old spirit. Hallelujah. You cannot have an old spirit and a new heart. That old spirit that we had before, that old disposition we had before, that old heart we had before, it can no longer operate with the new heart and the new spirit that God comes in and gives us. That's when we repent, as Israel did. That's when we remember, as Israel did, as we reconcile back to God. We reconcile to him, and we come back to him and him to us, not with the old, but with a new heart and a new spirit. So when God comes in and he creates newness in us, it's totally completely different. God doesn't just half save us. God doesn't just save us and then we work on the rest of us to get it right. God does a complete work. Didn't Jesus say it is finished? It is finished. It is finished. What God is doing in your life, to cause you to have a new heart and a new spirit and be that new person that look like, act like, walk like, talk like Jesus, live like Jesus. It's complete and it's finished. He did not have to save you. He did not. And I understand what people mean when they say, oh, God is still working on me. Yes, he will continue to work on us until Jesus returns for us and give us a glorified body. Until then, sanctification, justification first, Jesus on the cross at Calvary justified us. And I will walk now before God Jesus with the Holy Spirit in us and his word. It's sanctification. Every day he's working on us, but he's not working on us from an old us. He's working, oh Jesus, he's working on us from a new us, a new heart, a new spirit, causing us to be stronger, causing us to be deeper, causing us to love him more, draw closer to him more. Oh God, he's not working on the old us. He's working on us from Calvary's cross, the new us. And every day, he's building on the newness that he has put in us, the heart and the spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Glory to God. So he changes our sinful self to holy. He changes our carnal and our carnal mind, our carnalness into spiritual. I want to say this again. He's pressing me to say this again. He is not working on us from our old self. Once we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, once we are born again, once we are filled with the Holy Ghost, once we are walking out our faith, God is not, he's not through with me yet. He is not through with us yet because he's working on us continually till Jesus come, but from our newness in him, not our old self, but from our new heart and our new spirit that he has given us through his son, Christ Jesus. And we are so new on the inside. And as I shared on the other Sunday with those beautiful ladies there at Jerusalem in Cottonport, tell yourself, it's an inside job. Hallelujah. It's an inside job. God comes in and he does in us from the inside that shows up on the outside. So much so. The newness of God shows up so much so from the inside out that when people that knew us back in the day, quote unquote, they don't even recognize who you are. Hallelujah. And they'll soon quickly tell you, oh, wow, you've changed. Yes, I have. Thanks be to God who's given me the victory through Christ Jesus that he's brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. That old self is truly dead, passed away, buried, not to be dug up. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The old has been crucified with Christ, yet we live. And all things have become new. And my brothers and sisters and all of our listeners out there, we not only have newness from the inside out, but we have a new mouth. Hallelujah. We have new eyes. We have new ears. We have a new mind, soul, spirit, feet, because all of those working together as one body is going to operate according to the new heart and the new spirit. My mouth does not say what it used to say. It cannot. Hallelujah. My eyes cannot watch what it used to watch. It's impossible. They're new. They're called according to God. We cannot watch some of everything and anything on TV or in our environment. Oh, glory to God. You know, some people, something comes out ungodly or even cursing and say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Yes, you did. What's on the outside, what's on the inside will come out. So there's no way we can have a new heart, a new spirit given to us by God Almighty through his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, was buried, on the third day was raised by the power of the Holy Spirit and ascended back to the Father, and he's sitting on his right hand right now, interceding for us. It's no way that what is on the inside, truly on the inside, is going to come out. And if we don't allow God to give us that new heart, give us that new spirit, yes, that old will come out. But totally, as he works on the newness of us daily, that mouth, those eyes, those ears, the feet that where you used to go, you don't go anymore. They don't take you to your old places. Your soul and spirit is new in God, in Christ Jesus. And they work together with your new heart. Your outer man has been declared, demonstrating the newness of God on the outside. Everything about us is new. Again, we cannot operate with an old heart and a new spirit. Or a new spirit and an old heart. Those old things we'd hold in our heart. That old unforgiveness. That old habit. That old whatever it is that was in our past. Whatever it is that God wants to forgive us for and restore us for. We cannot hold that in a new heart. Oh, my Jesus. Jesus said it like this. He said, you cannot put a new piece of cloth on an old garment, it will tear. Nor can you put new wine in old bottles, it will break. The old cannot hold the new. Oh my goodness. And so Jesus is telling us that once God comes in, once he comes in, and Jesus in us, and us in Jesus, and Jesus in the Father, we are operating as one. So Jesus did not half die. Oh, my God. He was not half crucified. Oh, my God. He didn't save some of you. But by his power, he saved all of you. The second thing that happens when God gives us a new heart and a new spirit, there will be a removal and replacement. Hallelujah. Look at what Ezekiel told Israel. God said, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Notice there's two flesh there. But we must trust and allow God to do the removing and the replacing of the old to the new. We must allow him to do the molding and the making into the image of his Son, because he is the power behind the removing and the replacing of the old. Listen, Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel, tell Israel, as you hear my voice today, he's speaking to us today, tell my people in 2026, I will take away the stony heart and give you an heart of flesh. Now, the second flesh is different from the first one. The